Hello everyone, this is the talk for St John's Church in Birkdale for Sunday the 24th of September. It's our harvest service and our talk is entitled Fruit. Well, I wonder if you're fans of Strictly Come Dancing. Certainly in our household we are. But at the same time, it's yet another major TV event that we've got to fit in between Jean and her soaps and me and the Rugby World Cup. Well, it's a good job, isn't it, that we've got more than two black and white channels these days. And now we can, just for an internet connection and of course a fee, watch endless box sets and films. And have you noticed that when you do that, most of them these days come with warnings or advice on their content, just in case they may cause some distress. Found in the programme descriptions, these are known as trigger warnings. Now, in our highly sensitive society, many programmes will be likely to upset somebody. And of course, there are very real warnings that do need to be given to people, for example, parents, to help them gauge the viewing. But I do find some of these warnings really rather cautious and actually puzzling. Telling me there will be violent scenes and foul language tells me, well, I can switch over. But what am I meant to expect from shows that say I'm going to get moderate language or alcohol use? Or my favourite at the moment tells me that there's going to be peril. Have you seen that at all? This episode contains some peril. Well, it seems a little old-fashioned to me, doesn't it, that word peril? So let's just say that I am in danger. I guess what they're trying to tell us all is that we're in danger if we sit on the sofa and press the play button. Now, if you're honest, that's probably one of the strangest starts to a harvest talk you've ever heard. But I promise you, I will get closer before the end to the traditional image of haystacks and baskets of golden bread. But for now, I'm sorry we're staying with that word peril. We could use other words, risk or hazard, or the threat of great and imminent danger. And more helpful still maybe for us today, the definition that calls it the exposure to the risk of being injured, destroyed or lost. Which brings me neatly to the Bible and our passage for today, which is taken from the letter of Paul to the people of Galatia. Now, imagine televising a series on the Bible today. Just how many trigger warnings would you have to use with that? There'd certainly have to be things like scenes of distress and adult themes, definitely violent scenes, and yes, there would have to be plenty of peril. And you know, we should really take notice of that warning, because we are all in peril, in danger, at risk of destruction and loss, if we fail to listen to and take heed of the word of God. Increasingly, people today fight against absolute truth, preferring to pick out the bits that they like and to ignore the others. But that absolute truth is what we have in the word of God. And there is no stronger advocate for a life of black and white, right and wrong, than the Apostle Paul. Let's listen to this extract from his letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Well, Paul never pulls his punches, does he? He never allows us to shy away from the truth of God. and from the truth of our own lives. Reading him is never comfortable, but it is important because he brings situations down to the basics of right and wrong, either being true to God or being cut off from him. And that's a really useful basic to hang on to, because this is the last of our series entitled Back to Basics. And today is entitled to fruit, but no, we're not at the harvest just yet, because the fruit we're going on to talk about is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's an essence of something basic and core to our very being when we accept the word of God and the promise of salvation through his Son. The understanding of this becomes a basic of our life in faith and enables us to demonstrate God's presence with us. So what do we mean by this fruit of the Spirit? Well, it was all there in the reading in Paul's letter in the second of his lists. Do you like a list? Yeah, I think a lot of people do, really. And I wonder which of these two lists in the reading is the most appealing. Well, let's just briefly remind ourselves the first list has 16 examples, including things like immorality and witchcraft, envy, drunkenness. Whilst the second list is all about love and kindness, peace and forbearance. So I wonder which list you're attached to. Well, it should be pretty obvious, shouldn't it really? And not many of us would want to admit that we really like the sound of very much, if anything at all, in that first list. But I wonder, have there never been times when you've experienced some of them? You may well have stayed clear of idolatry and witchcraft, but how about jealousy or self-ambition, hatred or discord? You see, these are all too easy, aren't they? And there are times when we just slip into one of these sins without intending to. Oh yes, I did call them sins, because they are examples of a sinful nature. But that is common to us all. Paul calls them the act of the flesh. I wonder whether we could just call them the weakness of human nature. We recognise the need to fight against indulging in those bad behaviours, because we know they make us feel bad. And, really importantly, they keep us a distance away from our Heavenly Father. And Paul tells us in verse 21, doesn't he, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I think one of the things that really upsets Paul is the earlier part of that verse, that he needs to warn them as he's done before. We know that Paul established a large number of what we call early Christian churches. And when Paul was amongst them, they were strong. But then when he moved away to another city, well, they were exposed again to their old ways. Ways of their society in which they lived. Plenty of idolatry and witchcraft there, with dozens of other gods and cults. And some of them, you know, were really quite tempting. Some of the examples may seem tempting today to some people, and that's the problem that we still face 2,000 years later. And it eats away at us and our relationships. In the verses before our reading, Paul had told the Galatian church that they'd been called to live in freedom, to serve one another in love. But that instead of showing love to each other, they were always biting and devouring one another. And temptation is all around. And last week, Sally reminded us that really what we're in is a war between good and evil. A war that we need to prepare for to defend ourselves and then to strike out against those sinful forces attacking us. And our greatest defence is the Bible. Well, and let's face it, that's the one with every trigger warning you could ever imagine, because it covers every aspect of life and death. Paul says the acts of the flesh are obvious. So we are in peril, the risk, the danger associated with that first list. But thankfully, in verse 24, if we carry on reading, it says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So simply, if we follow Jesus, we can overcome these destructive passions. We won't get rid of all temptations, but we can overcome them. because as followers of Jesus, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will be changed. And we will reject that first list and embrace the second. If we listen to the Spirit and follow the Word of God, we will appear different as well, because we will receive the fruit of that Spirit. And you can look at dictionary definitions about what it means to bear fruit. And of course, in many ways, you can say that it's a case of being successful after a lot of effort, and it means to yield the desired result. And doesn't that seem exactly right? Knowing God and following Jesus doesn't guarantee everything good is going to happen to you overnight. It still takes a lot of effort to be a fruitful Christian. But the outcome of that effort will yield the result that we pray for, which is love and joy, peace and the promise of salvation. Growing in godliness will pay off. Let's remind ourselves of the second list. That's the good list, if you like. The list that together can be considered the fruit of the Spirit. Again, in there, I've already mentioned love, joy and peace, plus forbearance and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Collectively, they make up the fruit. If we're to look at this reading, maybe in the context of going back to basics, maybe we do need to get hold of maybe what sounds like a bit of a confusing concept. So let's consider all of this in terms of our own personal character. If we embrace Paul's warning, we take on a different character. From now on, we have the character of the one person who demonstrated everything on that good list, always, every day, without fail. We're talking about the character, of course, of Jesus. Now, we'll never be as perfect as him, but we will be able to demonstrate his character as our own. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, said that all of us seeing the glory of the Lord is as though it was reflected in a mirror and being transformed, each of us, into that same image. So you could say that the fruit is a portrait of Christ, a portrait of the ideal Christian. His character will be reflected in our own as we try to be a stronger, better follower of his. So do you think the fruit of the Spirit lives in you and in me? Just how fruitful are we being as Christians? Well, we're probably all doing our little bit, but Paul would rightly ask us if that is actually enough. Can we do, should we do more to love and follow Christ? Can we do more to show that to those around us? I mentioned earlier in the talk that the early believers in Galatia were strong when Paul was around, but weakened when he left. And I wonder if that's true for many of us. How easy is it to sit in a church and feel good about ourselves, but what about the rest of the week? How strong are we then? So maybe it's time to start referencing the harvest. And I thought I'd begin with seeds and plants. Certainly, if you're going to plant seeds and plant them out in the summer, looking for a beautiful floral display, it's no good then ignoring them, because they'll soon wither. And just like my busy Lizzie's, Christians need cultivating with all the necessary nutrients and a little bit of tender loving care. And we also need to get rid of the weeds, don't we? We've all got weeds in our lives. Which ones would you like to get rid of? And which bits of your Christian life would you like to cultivate? We might not have Paul with us in person, but we do have his words and the other members of our church family. Because even when we know God's will, we will still make mistakes, because I said we're never going to be perfect. But that's why we need each other to restore the parts that are broken. And together we can live by the Spirit and walk through a sinful world of temptation and resist it. And so, filled with fruit, how do we go out this morning? Will we listen to God's will for our lives and act upon it? Will the harvest be all that he wants and expects from us? And as we offer our thanks today to God for all that he gives us, is the world what we would like it to be? is the overriding image of our world one of God's bounteous gifts? Do we think out of our country as a place reflecting God's glory? Would we describe it as green fields and luscious orchards and golden fields of barley? Or is that just a song? So just how are we harvesting all of God's gifts, and more importantly, what are we doing with them? Are we just destroying them? We're going to be looking carefully here at St. John's as to whether we may be able to class ourselves as an eco-church. But we suspect when we look at it, there'll be many areas where we're not doing as much as we could. Paul went on to teach that people reaped what they sowed in life, and if you reap to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Never give up doing what is right, and then you will reap at harvest time. We can avoid peril and protect ourselves from being lost, and avoid our life with God being destroyed. I'm going to end with a piece that I've taken from a Bible commentary that I read. It just says that we must learn to live by the power of God filled with the Holy Spirit. And then amongst the dark powers, we will shine like lights in the world, living lives of joy, peace and love in the midst of the fear and uncertainty of our world. And I think we can all say Amen to that.